Our readings today have been from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, and from Isaiah 42, the first 9 verses. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing to you this day and always. Amen. Well, my illustration for my sermon today is a jar of sourdough starter. Perhaps you might like to ponder for a minute or two what on earth that might have to do with our reading today. We'll come back to it. Scripture tells us that at the age of 2, Jesus and his family left Egypt and went to Nazareth. Last week we heard from Chris about the visit of the wise men and the unusual gifts they brought him. But after that we hear very little else about Jesus' childhood. He lived a life of relative obscurity in a completely unimpressive place for a further 28 years. He learned in that time to call God his father and to know scripture really well in a way that astonished the professionals in the temple when he was 12. But other than that, his life was unremarkable. He supported his mother when his father died in his youth, and he would have been the head of the family looking after younger siblings in those days. He worked as a carpenter and watched his friends grow up and get married. I dare say he suffered a degree of cultural shame in not marrying himself. Yet in spite of suffering the temptations we all face, Hebrews 4 verse 5 tells us that he never sinned. He learned to be patient and to wait on God's good timing. Isaiah 49 verses 2 and 3 say this: He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendour. The image of Father God as a hunter or warrior, patiently polishing and sharpening his arrows, is, I think, a really beautiful one. He spends time and patience honing the arrow, making it perfect, making it smooth and sharp. And then he lovingly tucks it away in his quiver, holding it close, ready for the moment he wishes to use it, now that it's been made beautiful and ready. God is never in a hurry. He's patient and his timing is perfect. Jesus spent a lot of time waiting in obscurity in Nazareth. So to return to my illustration, the sourdough starter. Do you remember during the pandemic, baking your own sourdough bread became very fashionable? The daughter of one of my friends was very keen to help me learn, but my friend scoffed. You don't have time for that, she said. Of course, I felt quite indignant at the time, privately determined to prove her wrong. But do you know, she was right, really. I don't have time to wait 3 days for every loaf of bread. Nurturing a sourdough starter takes days. You can't rush it. You need to wait. But that waiting is not inactive. You need to feed the sourdough and prepare it for active duty, if you will. Rush in too soon and your bread won't rise. Fail to feed it and the culture will die back and you have to start all over again. Patience is very definitely needed. You need to wait, paying active attention to the health of the starter. Jesus' early life in Nazareth was 28 years of active preparation. God was preparing him, not forgotten, not overlooked, lovingly being prepared. God honours those who wait actively for his time and look for his leading. So in our reading, the time has come for Jesus to walk out of obscurity and to begin active ministry. If you wait actively, your spirit knows when God is nudging you into action. Jesus is doing what is right. In presenting himself for baptism, he affirms John's call to the people of Israel to repent and be baptized. It's the start of something new. John knows his cousin Jesus lives well and doesn't need to repent in the way others do, but he accepts that Jesus is doing the right thing, modeling for us the right way to live in humility. And having been baptized, we hear of Jesus being anointed by God the Father with the Holy Spirit. You might reasonably ask, well, isn't the Holy Spirit not always with Jesus? As part of the triune Godhead, of course the Spirit is always with Jesus, as he is with all believers. But I've heard this anointing explained as rather like my gas central heating boiler at home. There's always a pilot light burning. But when the heating system becomes active and the radiator switch on, the boiler roars into life. Jesus, this cherished, polished arrow, is anointed by the Holy Spirit at baptism to begin his active ministry on earth. This is an expression of love, a hug if you like. Father God says, "This is my Son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." I wonder how this moment felt for Jesus to be so affirmed by his heavenly Father, to be told he is loved, to be reminded his Father is proud of him. Sit with that thought for a moment. I wonder if you have had such an experience. Savour that love. Or perhaps, if that thought is new to you, you might like to ask God for it. As an aside, if you have children, however old they are, make sure you tell them you love them today. When I used to teach teenagers, I used to tell parents the trick is to catch them out doing something right, however small, and to tell them how proud you are of them. Look for opportunities to articulate your pride in your children. If you don't have children, perhaps you can find an opportunity to tell one of your Christian family they're doing a good job. We're made to affirm each other. This baptism shows us Jesus fully identifying with humankind, living as we are intended to do. But it also marks the beginning of a new chapter, a coming out of obscurity and an engaging with the job the Father gave him to do. The burnished arrow is withdrawn from the quiver and placed in the bow. When we're baptized, or confirmed if we were baptized as an infant, we join the worldwide family of the church. We turn away from doing things our own way. We declare our faith publicly, and as with Jesus, we invite the Holy Spirit to fill us anew and resource us for the tasks ahead. On one hand, like much of Scripture, this passage is a simple description of events. But when we read God's word, we should always be asking, what does this mean to me? How then should I live? That process takes time and patience. In truth, I've had quite a full week catching up after a few days off and funerals and one thing and another. Normally, I write my sermon on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, but this week it wasn't until Friday morning that I had enough space to sit down with my Bible and ask God that question. So what is this about? Well, this is what I've concluded. It's about patience. It's about being like that sourdough, waiting actively, feeding your faith, and being ready in God's good time to share his love with others. So, There are a few ways you might like to respond this morning. Scripture always requires a response. Now, you might like to think of your own response, but here are some ideas. So first, you might like to share my sourdough starter. Like faith, it's made to be shared, and it grows the more you do so. So if you'd like to do that, email me. Secondly, you might like to be baptised or confirmed, and we'd love to help you prepare for that. So if you'd like to do that, email me, let me know. Thirdly, you might like to start waiting more actively, learning to read your Bible daily. Joining a home group is a great way to encourage that. Gathering regularly with like-minded others, other arrows in God's quiver, if you like, to be burnished and made ready for action by discussing God's word together, asking ourselves, how then should we live? Finally, something we can all do daily is to invite God's Holy Spirit to fill us and make us new, to resource us for whatever he calls us to do in the week ahead. Let's end in prayer and invite the Holy Spirit to do that for us now. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Jesus, thank you that you were at once fully human and fully divine. Thank you that you invite each of us to join your worldwide family. Father God, thank you that you love each one of us and long for us to know that love in a real way. Thank you that you do not forget us, but take loving care to burnish each one of us and tuck us safely away in your quiver until the time is right. Holy Spirit, I ask you to fill my heart now. Refresh and resource me, shape me and use me to extend your kingdom here on earth. Amen.